Welcome to the teaching ministry of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We know you'll be blessed as Pastor Jim Cobray ministers the Word of God. Tonight I want to talk to you about walking in God's will. Walking in God's will. I know there's been a lot of stuff out there about the will of God and how to find out about what the will of God is for your life, what to do when you find out the will of God. And this teaching, I believe, is going to encourage you in some of the things maybe you've heard and some of the things that you've been taught. Maybe you've never heard about this subject before and you're interested to find out. I believe you're going to be encouraged tonight. When I talk about walking in God's will, anytime you hear the word walking in the Bible, really what it means is to live out your life in this way. The Bible tells us that we are to walk in the Spirit. What does that mean? That means that we are to live out our lives in the Spirit of God, that we are to be guided by the Spirit, that we are to live in a way that reflects the spiritual life on the inside of us. Also, we're told that we're to walk in love. And so, what are we to do then? We are to live a life of love, the agape love of God, that supernatural God kind of love, that love that goes beyond our own natural ability, where we would want to slap somebody. No, now we allow the love of God to come through us, and now we don't slap them, we love them. We encourage them, we bless them. So tonight, when you see the words up on the screen for the title that we are to be walking in God's will, what does that mean? That means that we are to live a life that is in the will of God, that is pleasing to the will of God. The Bible tells us that we are able to approve what is that good and that perfect and that acceptable will of God. Now, that's not talking about three wills of God, as some people teach. That's talking about three aspects of the same will of God. You know, it's like saying that the car was a red, fast, small car. That's not talking about three cars. That's talking about one car. In the same way, the will of God is good, perfect, and acceptable for our lives. And we are able to, as Christians, to live out our lives in that will because the Spirit of God allows us the capacity to approve it with our lives. That as we live out our lives in the Spirit of God and as we walk out our lives and our time on this planet, according to what we know about the things of God from His Word and also the things that we hear in our prayer times and in our times with the Lord, that we are able to live out our lives according to the will of God. So let's take a look at it in the book of Acts. I want you to turn with me to Acts chapter number 19. We're going to take a look at the life of Paul and some principles that we see as we look at how the Apostle Paul lived out his life as he walked in the Spirit, walked in love, and also walked in the will of God. It's amazing to me as I was studying, I found out that one of the things that when Saul, who is really Paul, when he was converted, one of the things that Ananias told him was that you are going to know the will of God for your life. That you are going to be somebody who understands the will of God. And so we see Paul living out his life, and you'll find that there were times where he wanted to go and do something, but he was stopped in one area because of something that happened or because the Spirit of God stopped him, or he had purposed in his heart to do this, and that didn't work out. And so then all of a sudden a door was opened to him, an opportunity was opened up to him, and he was able to approve by his life the will of God as he walked forward and as he went into that destiny and that purpose. Acts chapter number 19, I'm going to take a look at verse number 21 to start. Paul has just ministered in Ephesus, and the word of God is spreading. Things are taking place. In verse number 21 of Acts chapter number 19, it says this. It says, when these things were accomplished, when the word of God had spread, grew mightily, and when it had prevailed. It says, when these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. How did Paul purpose? Oh boy, that was lethargic. Come on, wake yourself up, everybody. You're in church. Okay? Let's try that again, okay? Let's read it. Verse number 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul purposed in the Spirit. How did Paul purpose? All right, that's better. He purposed in the Spirit when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So Paul was living out his life. He was in a place where ministry was prosperous. The word of God was growing. And he purposed how? In the Spirit. Right? He was living his life in the Spirit. He was walking in the Spirit. And in that guidance of the Spirit, it says that he purposed in his heart when he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia to go to Jerusalem, saying, after I've been there, I must also see Rome. So he's got a plan in mind. He's got a purpose. He's got a vision that is Spirit-led. Now I want you to drop down to Acts chapter 20. Okay, maybe you have to turn a page. Acts chapter 20, verse 22. through 24. Now, I'm going to read these verses to you in the Old King James verses, okay? So if you have an Old King James, you can read along in your Bible. If you don't, I'll put it up on the overheads. If you got the New King James, it's not that different. But I wanted to pull out some specific words that in the Old King James, I think, expresses it better for our understanding tonight. This is Acts chapter 20, verse 22 through 24 in the Old King James, all right? It says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit. Now stop right there for a second. How did he go bound? Oh, come on, you guys. We just had this drill. You already forgot. Let's try it again. How did he go bound? In the Spirit. Once again, we find out that he is being Spirit-led, and now it wasn't just a purpose. Now he is being bound in the Spirit. He is being compelled. He is being led. Now he's headed in that direction, and he cannot get off course because he is in the Spirit. Where is he going? Unto Jerusalem. Not knowing the things that shall befall me there. Verse 23, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me or await me there. Verse number 24, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. Now, as we read those verses, we find out some things about Paul. Paul was headed to Jerusalem. Paul had a purpose in mind. He had a plan in mind. And if you read the surrounding verses, you find out he wanted to get there by a certain time and a certain day because there was a festival that was taking place. And he wanted to get there by that time. And so now here he is, and he's bidding farewell to some people who are very dear to him. And as he does, he's speaking some words of encouragement to them. As he's speaking these things to them and exhorting them, he says, and now behold, verse number 22 again, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem. He says, I am being led of God in this direction. I cannot get taken off course. Why? Because I'm living my life in the Spirit. I am walking in God's will. This is the plan. This is the purpose. This is the destiny that God has for me. And he says, I don't know what's going to go down there, guys. Listen, I'm not real sure. Verse 23, except that the Holy Ghost witnesses to me in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. They wait for me. He says, guys, there's some trouble up ahead for me. I know that because in every city I go to, everybody keeps telling me, Paul, don't go to Jerusalem. There's trouble waiting for you in Jerusalem. The Jews are going to get you in Jerusalem. You're going to be bound up in Jerusalem. You're going to be beat up in Jerusalem. Don't go. And yet, verse 24 comes along and he says, but none of these things move me. He says, I am not going to get knocked off course. I'm going to continue because I know that it was a Spirit-led decision that took me to this place, and I know that the Spirit is bringing me to this place. I'm going bound in the Spirit, and none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, it doesn't matter if I go there and die. He says, I'm ready for that. I'm ready for that. He says, so that I might finish my course with joy. See, when you're in the will of God, and you know the plan of God, you know the direction that God has given you, it is a joy to you. Doesn't matter what sort of roadblocks, doesn't matter what sort of opposition, doesn't matter if there's trials or persecution or tests or challenges or things that await you down that road, it's a course that as long as you're in the middle of the will of God, you're going to have joy in your heart. You're going to have that peace knowing that you're in the will of God. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about. He says that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace or the empowering ability of God. God's sovereign divine ability to get the job done on your behalf when you can't do it. That's good news. That's good news. So tonight, I want to ask a question, and we'll answer the question as we go through three couple things that we find in this passage of Scripture. How do we live in God's will? A lot of times in my counseling sessions, in my time with people, people call me on the phone, and they catch me after service, and they say, Pastor, I just want to know, how do I live in the will of God? I understand the Word of God, and I know that that's God's will for my life, but what about the stuff that's outside of the Word of God, the things that you don't find, like where do I go to school, who do I marry, what sort of job am I supposed to take, how am I supposed to operate in this instance, these circumstances, this specific thing, Pastor, I don't find it in the Word, and therefore, you know, how am I going to know what God's will is for me on this subject? How am I going to know God's direction for me on this subject? How am I going to know what God's leading me to? You know, it seems like Paul had it so together. Paul had it so just laid out in front of him. But he was an apostle. He had this supernatural conversion. He was getting caught up into these revelations for a decade, and he's the great apostle. Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What about me? Anybody else feel that way other than Pastor Dan? Okay, good. I'm talking to somebody tonight. Glad to know. How do we live in God's will? Number one is stick to God's word. Stick to God's word. Let me say this. If people would stick to God's word, 99.999999% of the problems that I encounter, I wouldn't encounter. Why? Because it's in the Word. The Bible takes care of issues. You say, well, wait a second. God doesn't just lay out, so-and-so is supposed to marry so-and-so, and so-and-so is supposed to work at so-and-so, and it doesn't lay any of that out, Pastor. No, it doesn't. But it gives you some guidelines. Maybe it doesn't say the name of the person, but it'll tell you the character qualities of that person. And when you look at that person's life, and the Bible says that it's like a mirror, and you say, can I just hold this up to you real quick? Let's take a look. Can you just, real quick, can we just, you see those people, right? See, when you live out your life in light of what God's Word says, it makes all the difference. Well, I don't know if I'm supposed to work there. Well, let me ask you a question. Have you prayed about it? Let me ask you another question. Is it going to give you the hours you need to keep coming to church? Let me ask you another question. Is it going to encourage and build your life, build your family? Or is it going to draw you away from those things? So you can find that stuff in the Word. The problem is we look to our neighbors, look to our friends, look to our family, look to our feelings to be led rather than looking to the Word of God. Listen, I'm in the boat with you. Don't think Pastor Dan is just throwing y'all in. No, I'm right in there with you saying, yeah, I'm the same way. A lot of times you encounter a problem, what's the first thing you do? Talk to God? No, you talk to your friend about it. Talk to your spouse. That's not necessarily a bad thing, but listen, before you go to anybody else, it's time to talk to the one who knows the solution before it even comes off of your tongue. My daughter today got home from school. She says, Daddy, I hurt my thumb. I said, how did you hurt your thumb? She tells me this long story, and I'm still kind of confused. The mind of a five-year-old, I'm kind of like, wow. And what it comes down to is she was behind another girl, and the other girl was excited, I guess, and pushed back, and her thumb got jammed, okay? I don't know how that works. That's the story I got, okay? She's sticking to it. And so I said, well, honey, what did you do? Did you cry? Did you? She said, well, I asked the teacher if she would pray for it, and she didn't pray for it, so I didn't push the issue. I didn't ask her to pray for it again. And she left, and here I am with a hurting finger. And I said, well, honey, did you pray for it? And she said, no, Daddy, I didn't pray for it. I said, why not? She said, I don't know. I said, well, honey, do you want to still have a hurting finger? No. Well, then don't you think you should pray for it? And at that point, she said, Daddy, we're home. I need to get out of the car. And she ran off. So, But the principle is this. How many times have we been hurt? How many times have we been wronged? How many times have we been confused? How many times have we thought we knew what we were supposed to do, but we weren't quite sure yet? There wasn't clarity quite yet. It was still a little misty, still a little foggy down the road. And yet we didn't take it to God. We wanted somebody else to pray for us. We wanted somebody else to talk to us. We wanted somebody else to give us the direction. Wanted somebody else. If I could just call pastor, if I could just get a counseling appointment, if I could just find a book, if I could. And yet God's saying, I'm right here. Come on and let's talk to me. Let's find out. Let's get into it. Stick to God's word. Listen, not even Jesus would move without the will of God in his life. You remember in the Garden of Gethsemane, what did he pray? He said, not my will, but yours be done. Right? See, Jesus, he said, I don't do anything of my own accord. I only do what I see my Father doing. That's why he gave us the model prayer. What did Jesus tell us to pray every day? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What is that? That's a prayer of consecration, a prayer of dedication. Lord, I'm sticking to your will. I'm sticking to your way. I'm sticking to your word, God. Whatever it is you tell me to do, that's what I'm going to do, God. I will find it. I will find a promise. I will find a verse. I will find out what you have to say about it. I will press in prayer until I know that I know that I know that I know. Take a look with me at the book of James, chapter number 4. Great verse in James. James chapter 4. Starting in verse number 13, we're going to read James chapter 4, 13, all the way down through verse 15. James chapter 4, verse 13 says this. It says, come now, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell, and make a profit. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with making plans, nothing wrong with going someplace, nothing wrong with doing business, nothing wrong with even making a profit. But let's read on. Verse 14, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. You guys have seen a vapor. Here it is, just a hint in the sun. There it is, glistening, and then it's gone. Here for a moment, next moment, you don't see it anymore. This morning I was driving to work and I saw a rainbow. Anybody see the rainbow this morning? Anybody else? A couple of you guys saw it. Kind of cool seeing it up there in the clouds. Turn a corner of the road, it's gone. Just like that. That's like our life. Here for a moment, beautiful, wonderful, shiny, new, clean. There it is. And then bam, it's gone. What's the point of what he's saying? Look at the next verse, 15. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. The point of what he's saying is that, look, if your plans aren't committed to the Lord, if you're just saying out of your own mind, I'm just going to go and do this thing. I'm going to go do my business. I'm going to go handle my stuff. This is what I'm going to do. This is where I'm going to be. This is what it's all about. And you have not committed your way to the Lord, then you're wrong. If you haven't gotten the will of God yet, then you need to get back to the things of God. Need to get back in the face of God. Need to get back in the word of God. Need to get back to where it is, where you have a humble, tender heart that says, Lord, not my will. Not my will, but your will be done. God, this day, God, your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Father, do it through me in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Amen. All right, a couple of weak claps, but I'll receive them. Listen, would God set up somebody in a ministry, in a job, in fame and fortune, at the cost of their family? Absolutely not. Would God uproot a family from a strong, healthy church, relationships, purpose, destiny, to a barren wasteland where there's no spiritual life for them in order to make them some more money? No. And yet people, all the time, Pastor, we got a better job offer. It's way out in the boondocks. Styx, USA. It's the will of God. Really, what church are you going to there? Who's your pastor? Have you listened to a sermon? Do you have any friends? Do you have any relationships? Is there any accountability? Is God going to ruin your family to make you money? No, because God's not about that. Your life is a vapor here and then gone. And in the short time we have, we need to live our time and our lives in the will of God. Stick to God's word. Stick to God's word. Praise the Lord. Second thing, how do we live in God's will? How do we live in God's will? We found out that number one was to stick to God's word. Find out what it is. Even though you may not find out the specifics, work here, marry this person, drive this car, eat this pie, you can find some things that surround that, and you can approve the will of God based on what you know of the Word. Second thing is confirm the Word through witnesses. Confirm the Word through witnesses. What on earth does that mean? Listen, the Bible says that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. That means that your desire alone is not enough to determine the will of God. That means that your circumstances alone are not enough to determine the will of God. That means that someone's opinion about your life alone is not enough to determine the will of God for your life. What does that mean? That means that out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. Turn with me back to the book of Acts, chapter number 20. Let's take a look at this again. Acts chapter 20. Let's look at it again. Acts chapter 20, verse number 22. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Verse 23, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city. Listen, Paul was a traveling minister. He was setting up churches. That was his apostolic work, if you will, was that he was overseeing and starting churches. He was planting churches. He would plant a church. He would set up the leadership. He would get them strong, and then he would go to the next place. He would preach the gospel, set up a church, get leadership, and then he would go to the next place. And Paul, on his way one way around, came back the same way to make sure that all those churches were still strong and healthy in his circuit. Okay? So Paul, on his way back to Jerusalem, as he's traveling back and taking a look at what's going on in all the churches that he's planted, all the churches that he started, meeting up with the leadership, making sure things are happening, as he's traveling back in every city that he goes to, one right after the other, right after the other, they're all speaking the same thing. Each and every person, Paul, there's trouble waiting for you in Jerusalem. Paul, there's trials. I'm just going to tell you, brother. There's some trials waiting for you. Paul, don't go to Jerusalem, man. Spirit of God told me that there... What's going on? There's witnesses. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. They wouldn't even receive an accusation based on the testimony of one person. There had to be two or three witnesses in their courts. What is God saying to us? God is saying to us, yes, if God is dealing with you in an area, if God is giving you something, if God is ministering something to you, direction or future or vision or whatever it is, that you take that like Mary did when she heard about her child Jesus, and she took that, and what did she do? She hid it in her heart. Why did she do that? Because she didn't want to just go out and run out and, hey, my son's the Messiah. Everybody, I just had the virgin birth. Right? These people would pick up stones and throw them at her. Why? Who are you? What are you saying? You're speaking blasphemy. This baby? Are you kidding me? You're from Nazareth. We heard about you. We heard about what happened. We know Joseph's just a good man and just, you know, making sure that you don't look like a prostitute. Right? So what did she do? With wisdom, she hid it in her heart and she waited. She waited. She watched. She looked, she saw. Even when she comes to Jesus, she says, Jesus, I want you to do something. We're here at this wedding. They got no more wine. Jesus says, woman, it's not my time yet. She turns around and says, whatever he says to you, do it. Why? Because she knew that now Jesus would initiate. Now Jesus would take the reins on that. She didn't have to push through the will of God. She stored it in her heart, and she waited, and she watched. Many people I've seen have shipwrecked their faith, their family, their business, their lives because they tried to take a hold of the will of God and do it themselves in their time. They tried to take the will of God and they tried to make it happen. That I know it's God's will for me to be a pastor, and they go to a pastor school. And that's great. I'm glad that they do those things. But then they go and they start to pastor people and they start beating up the sheep. and it doesn't work out. I've seen people in business that have started businesses before it was time, and they started and they tried to make it work, they tried to make it happen, and yet God was saying, I want you over here right now. I want you to focus here. That's coming. I'll make that happen. You just trust in me. And they've shipwrecked their faith, they've shipwrecked their family, they've shipwrecked their business. Why? Because they didn't trust the word of God and look for the witnesses. Look for the witnesses, the confirming witnesses. Paul had witnesses in every city. One of the prophets even took Paul's belt and bound himself with it and told Paul, the owner of this belt will be bound in Jerusalem by the Jews. This is the same guy that prophesied that there would be a famine in the land, and it happened. What does that mean? That means that he was trustworthy. See, don't just let anybody speak into your life. It's got to be somebody that you can trust, somebody that knows something about you, or at least that you know is trustworthy. Somebody that you know has a reputation in the things of God. Somebody that you know is looking out for your best interest. They're not looking to harm you. Not looking for personal gain, not looking for their own profit, not looking for... Listen, they're looking out for the things of God, and they're looking out for you. I want you to take a look at Acts chapter 13. Hold your finger there in Acts chapter 20. We'll come back there. But Acts chapter 13, very interesting. Acts chapter number 13. Acts chapter number 13. Starting in verse number 2, it says these words. The church at Antioch, it says there were certain prophets and teachers, and it names them all. Verse number 2 says, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said. Now stop right there. Hold on a second. Who said? Interesting. The Holy Spirit said, now, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Wow, that's awesome. God called us to the ministry. Let's go. Let's do what God called us to do. Sayonara, everybody. But look at verse number 3. Look at this. Get a hold of this tonight. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, Let me try it again. Let me try it again. Then, having fasted, how long does it take to fast? Think about that for a second. You got to at least miss one meal. May help some of you guys out. Fasting is skipping food in order to seek the will of God. Didn't they just hear the voice of God, separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them to do? What do? They wait. They fast. They fast enough to miss at least one meal. How long does that take? At least a couple of hours, right? But they didn't just fast, they also prayed. They have the will of God, and yet they call a fast and they pray. And I would venture to say that their prayer meetings were not like our prayer meetings. They might have lasted a little bit longer. Having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them. What are they doing? They're commissioning them. The Bible says, do not hastily lay hands on anybody. Why? Because there is a timing involved. So these people fasted, they prayed, and at the right time, they commissioned them and they laid hands on them. Then they sent them away. Then they sent them away. See, we get the will of God and we say, oh, that's it. Time to go. Time to do. Time to run. Time to jam. Time to... And God's saying, time out. Don't just seek me for my will. Seek me for my timing. Make sure that what the will of God is for you is for the right season in your life. See, there are things that God has spoken to me that I've just held in my heart. Why? Because I don't know what the timing is. What God is the one who knows what the timing is. God knows the hour. God knows the day. God knows the season. God's got my number. He knows how to get a hold of me when the right time comes. God will lead me in the way which I should go. But that goes back to number one, sticking to the word. Number one, stick to the word. Number two, look for the witnesses. See, they had some witnesses. Barnabas and Saul, they had people around them. They had people that confirmed things to them. They had people that prayed with them, people that cared about them, people that understood where they were at and where they were going. Often the Lord will deal with you personally on a matter and will bring it to others to minister a confirmation of something He was already speaking to you. That's why oftentimes if you hear somebody say, I got a word for you, brother. Sister, I believe I've got the word of the Lord for you. If you don't know that person, you can listen, but you guard your heart. But if you're here at church and somebody you know and somebody you love greets you, and they say, hey, you know what? You were just on my heart. Man, I was praying and God just told me to tell you it's going to be all right. A lot of times that word can just rest in your heart and you say, wow, God was already speaking that to me today. God was already directing me that way. Thank you. Thank you for confirming that. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, every matter shall be established. Make sure that you look for the witnesses. Number three. We're going to find out how do we walk in the will of God. Number one, stick to the word. Number two, look for the witnesses. Number three is move on the word. Remember, we started out by saying if we're going to walk in it, that we're going to live out our life in it. That means that we need to move not based on feelings, not based on emotions or desires. No, we are to move or to walk or to live out our life on the Word. Don't be moved by circumstances. Circumstances aren't always going to line up. See, I think God does that on purpose sometimes to make sure that we have to rely on Him. If you're looking at a situation and you know it's the will of God and it looks like it's impossible, it just might be your God, because your God is a God of the impossible. If you're looking forward and you don't know how you're going to get it done, our God is the God of all grace, and it's His ability that's going to get the job done on your behalf. It's not your ability that's going to get the job done on your behalf. If you're looking to the future and you say, God, it's just so crazy. God, if you're not in this, it's destined to fail. That's a perfect setup for the Spirit of God to move everything around, to arrange it, to order your steps. And at the end of it all, you're going to say, God, I don't know how it got done, but God, you're getting the praise. You're getting the glory, and you're getting the honor. But you better move on the Word. Don't put your faith in yourself. Don't put your faith in your money. Don't put your faith in your ability. Don't put your faith in friends or even in people or pastors or relatives. Put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one who's not going to disappoint you. Be moved by the Word. Move on the Word. Turn back with me to Acts chapter number 20 and take a look at verse number 24. Acts chapter 20, verse 24 says, but none of these things move me. Notice that. None of these things move me. What things is he talking about? Beatings, persecutions, chains, troubles, trials, pressures, tribulations. None of these things move me. This guy's own countrymen were looking to try and kill him. And yet he says, none of these things move me. How many of us, when we hear about what our relatives have said about us, or how our coworkers feel about us, or what the neighbors are thinking of us, are moved? And yet here's a man that his own countrymen are trying to kill him. They're fasting until they know that he's dead. And he says, none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. He says, I don't care if I die, guys. Listen, for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. Why? Because I go to heaven. I get Jesus face to face. But while I'm here on the earth, man, I don't care what happens to me. As long as I'm doing the will of God, as long as I'm walking and moved based on His Word. Look at what he says. So that I might finish my course. My course. There is a plan laid out for each and every one of us. The Bible says that our steps are ordered of the Lord. God calls them out in front of you. The Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans for good and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. God has something laid out in front of you so that you might finish your course with joy. Look at this. And the ministry, the service, ministry is service. And the service which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. He says, I'm not moved by anything else but the word of God. And I know that the word of God, the will of God, I was moved in the spirit to go to Jerusalem and then on to Rome. And even though I know there's beatings, problems, trials, pressures, tribulations ahead of me, none of these things move me. I am being moved by the spirit of God. What are you facing, church? What's ahead of you? What are you looking at? What are you staring at down the road? What is it that is laid out in front of you? What has God spoken to you? Don't let your circumstances move you. Don't let the pain that you're going to have to go through to get to the end result. Oh, come on, somebody. You need to hear this tonight. You need to hear this tonight. Don't let the pain of what's ahead of you stop you from moving into the will of God. Don't let any of those things move you. Rather, let the word of God move you. Tonight, three things that we learn about walking in the will of the Lord. Number one is to stick to the word. Stick to the word, church. Stick to the word. Though you may not find that name, that specific address, you may not find the job application, you might not find the website to apply online, you can still find out what the will of God is from the word of God. You can press in and find out, based on God's word, God, what is it that I'm to do? Where is it that I'm to go? What do you have ahead of me, Lord? And the Lord will speak those things to your heart. Second thing is, look for the witnesses. Out of the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every matter be established. Look for the witnesses. Look for the confirmations. Look for the scriptures that support what you've heard in prayer. Hide it in your heart. Allow people who you trust to speak into your life. And then finally, number three is move on the word. God will do his part. You can be assured of that. You do your part. You move on the word. If you got something from the Lord tonight, come on, give him a great big praise. Hallelujah.
We want to thank you for listening to Pastor Jim Cobray. If you've enjoyed this message and would like to know more about The Rock Church and other resources, please log on to www.rockchurch.com.